darker than you used to be. Broadway's dark tonight. See the young man sitting in the old man's bar, waiting for his turn to die.
This is Faithless, a Star Wars original trilogy Empire era fanfic, written by Isama and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and is gem, with additional tags for post Order 66, pre A New Hope, loss of faith, the Force, introspection, angst, planet Tatooine.
Choke down all your anger. Forget your only son. You pray to statues when you're sober up for fun. Your anger don't impress me. The world slapped in your face. It always rains like hell on the loser's day. You see, you love to run home, but you know you ain't got one. 'Cause you live in a world that you best forgotten. When you're thinking of a joke and nobody's gonna listen to the one small point, another big
mistake. Obi-Wan wakes up to the sound of wind brushing across the sand outside. It was a quiet, barely discernible sound, a thin grate of roughness against the silence. In comparison to the noise of his dreams, it should be soothing. It grates, though. For a moment, he lies there, on the hard cot under a thin blanket, wrapped tightly in his robes and cloaks under it. The Knights of Tatooine are freezing, and his little hut doesn't have any sort of functional atmospheric regulators. He's still shivering under all the fabric. Soon, though, soon the first sun would rise, and then the second, and slowly the heat would start creeping in, spreading its tendrils across the sun-scorched rocks until it became oppressive, and he was never going to get used to Tatooine's cycle of temperatures. From icy nights to burning days, with barely a breath's worth of something more pleasant in between. At night, his bones ache, and his old scars twist as if shrinking in the cold, tightening the weary muscles around them, tugging at skin not quite as supple as it used to be. At day, the heat quickly bears down on him, heavy and hard and all too much for his very human physiology, overheating and dehydrating him on a daily basis. They said that the desert sun of Tatooine could age a man decades in a single year. Obi-Wan doesn't doubt it in the least. It's already shaving off years of his life, the cycle of cold and heat, frost and burn. He's shivering and cold under the blanket, and he doesn't want to get up. It would be colder to get up, every movement an ache until he finally managed to limber up for proper function. And then, like always, just as he started to feel more like his old self, the heat would come. Staying in bed won't stave it off, he knows that. But still. More and more. He wonders, what is the purpose of getting up early? Meditation, he thinks. Morning routines. Ablutions. He should get up and stretch out his cold, stiffened muscles and limber his sinews as well as he can. He's already lost enough of his flexibility in his prolonged inaction. Maybe today he could force himself to perform some katas. He should. He has been letting them fall more and more to the wayside. He should make some tea, he thinks, and then remembers he's out. He drank his last leaf a week ago. He should visit a settlement. The Oasis, maybe, to restock. Obi-Wan needs more food, at any rate. And mineral and vitamin supplements. Salt, if nothing else. He should finally buy that tool kit, too. Or at least some general-purpose tools for maintaining his little vaporator. The only thing in this damn desert that's keeping him alive. A twinge of something rises in his chest at that thought, and he looks away from the sandstone ceiling and to the small window by the doorway. Through it, he can see the shadow of the vaporator. Old model, barely functional. It had been there when he'd got the hut. Most days, doing maintenance on it is the only thing he does. The only reason he bothers to get out of bed. Sometimes he really wishes. No, that's an unworthy thought. Closing his eyes for a moment, Obi-Wan sets it aside. Irritation should release it into the Force. He doesn't do that either. It's been weeks now since he last meditated. Like so many things in life, it just doesn't serve a purpose anymore. It's been a year. A year since they lost. A year since they died. Obi-Wan keeps in touch with the galactic news as much as he can, removed from society as he is. He visits the local settlements every so often, and every time he does, he looks in on whatever bit of recent information from outside Tatooine they have. It's never pleasant, but with each month, it has slowly grown less and less terrible. The inexorable, insidious propaganda about the corruption and ineffectiveness of the Old Republic has done its job. For months, the news had gone over and over all the missteps and mistakes the Old Republic had made, the points where it had failed, the way it had inevitably collapsed like it had been expected. A slow-moving, slow-acting behemoth of a government, which had never been able to succeed at anything, too lazy, too gluttonous for its own power to act. In comparison, the new and energetic Empire is getting everything it sets out to do done at record speed, no longer hampered by the weight of parliaments and meetings and committees. And it is, indeed, getting things done. And no longer at gunpoint, even. At this point, the gun is forever implied, even if no longer present. And people are getting used to it. The chaotic birth of the Empire is over. It is settling into power, and the galaxy is settling into its new form of peace. And it shows. People are getting bored of finding horror in their new situation, and so it is starting to be normalized. They are simply the Empire now. And that's that. Jedi are being purged from public knowledge. People still remember, of course. People still know. But the memory is being slowly painted over with more propaganda. A failed religious order given too much power too soon, put in charge of tasks they were ill-equipped to deal with. Who had been so foolish as to put an order of monks in charge of an army? And not just an army, but an army of perfect soldiers, genetically engineered for perfect obedience. Of course they fell into corruption, just like the Republic they served. Religion, the new Emperor says, has no place in government. Once upon a time, Obi-Wan would have found that highly amusing. Now, every video and holo of the Emperor shows a dark-clad, masked figure at his side, and even through the cold recordings, Obi-Wan knows him. Even if he hadn't gotten intelligence from Organa, he knows who it is. Thankfully, Tatooine doesn't get live news from the galaxy. Like Obi-Wan, it too is too far removed to matter. Once a week, Obi-Wan forces himself to head to the Lars farm. Not close enough to be seen. He never goes to visit. It's not that he is unwelcome. He even gets the impression that they might like him. They definitely pity him. But he can't. Luke Skywalker is 1 year old now, and his hair is sun-bleached and sandy brown, just like his father's was, before the artificial light fixtures of Coruscant and thousands of spaceships drained it of its light. Over the sands of the farm, his laughter echoes, loud and free and unhindered, as he plays with whatever he can make a toy out of on a hardy farm. The Lars family love him. Obi-Wan keeps his distance, hovering by the rocky cliffs at the very edge, and staying only long enough to glimpse the boy, to see him well and happy. And then he goes away again, before he can think too deeply of it. The realization comes slowly. He doesn't just get up one morning and decide that he has lost his faith. There is no moment where his world shifts. Rather, it sinks in slowly over weeks, over months, as he meditates less and less, as he stops even thinking about performing his katas, as he stops trying to keep up with his old habits. Slowly, the reality settles in around him, like the Empire settles over the galaxy, an inexorable hopelessness. And like so many things now, it makes no difference. Yoda had said that Qui-Gon had achieved oneness with the Force. Maybe he had. Obi-Wan couldn't feel it, couldn't sense him, and couldn't hear him. The Force was still there, as it always had been. And it is no less light, no more dark, than it had ever been. Jedi were gone, Sith rule the galaxy, and the Force remains the same. Unchanged. For a while, Obi-Wan thought that this was the balance the Chosen One of the Force was supposed to bring. For a while, he thought that the Jedi were the unbalanced factor in the galaxy, which they, in their own righteous superiority, hadn't seen. Too much light and not enough dark. So Anakin had balanced everything. The Jedi were gone now. Dwindled down to two, as far as Obi-Wan knows. An imbalance with the two Sith that now ruled the galaxy. Perfectly balanced on the razor edge of abyss. But nothing in the Force had changed. It was the same it always had been. The same it had been everywhere Obi-Wan had reached for it. It was just there. The death of thousands of Jedi had had little impact on it once their screams had passed and the Force had settled. The rule of Sith had little impact on it, even as they spread their darkness across the galaxy, infecting everything with evil. Evil, Obi-Wan murmurs. The first thing he's spoken in weeks in the silence of his hut. He thinks of the news, of the galactic events as they funnel down to Tatooine, what little they learn about it. There must be thousands of atrocities going on throughout the galaxy's millions of worlds that they will never hear about in Tatooine. Millions of people dead, their corpses piled upon those of the Jedi that the Empire was expertly covering up. Evil, Obi-Wan thinks, and reaches for the Force. It doesn't feel evil to him. And perhaps that is the problem he now has with it. Some days are worse than others. No day is really good anymore. There aren't days he doesn't feel the saber that cut through his thigh. There aren't days where he doesn't feel the sting of old torture. He can count the blaster burns by how much they ache each day. Bacta's regenerative properties have their limits, it seems. And the cycle of hot and cold on Tatooine seems to strip layers off old healing, bringing old scars to the forefront as the flesh around them grows wearier. His hair is going white now. He's not sure if it's the twin suns or if he's missing something vital in his diet. The mineral and vitamin supplements he takes are definitely not enough to maintain his usual health, not with the constant stress Tatooine puts his body under. At his temples, and on the top, his hair is not only bleaching of its color under the sun, but it is losing its pigment as it grows. His beard, he notices as he trims it, has streaks of white in it. Worse yet, his vision has started to grow blurry thanks to the glare of the suns. What a reward he gets for a hard life of servitude. Another unworthy thought he doesn't release into the Force anymore. Instead, he takes it and examines it at length, peering at the weary bitterness it belies and what it tells about him. Both that he is losing some of what might pass for grace under pressure, and that he is still strong enough to feel bitter. It is highly un-Jedi-like, at any rate. He should do better. Luke will grow older. One day he will be old enough to be trained. One day, Obi-Wan would have to take him as his Padawan. Or all of this would be for nothing. He should do better now. And try and hold on to his training, onto his discipline, onto his faith. A Jedi does nothing for a reward. The situation he is in is neither a reward nor a punishment, and he deserves neither, because that is not what the Force is for. It doesn't reward devotion. And he has never been devoted because he searched for reward. And yet, it feels undeserved. It feels unfair. Obi-Wan trims his beard and watches white push from under the ginger. He's not even 40 yet, he thinks, running a hand over his beard. Already, he looks older than Qui-Gon at 70 ever had. There is no will of the Force. That is the realization Obi-Wan has come to, his new heresy and faithlessness. It had always been a more vague aspect of the Force, something not quite written down, but it had been the belief that sat at the heart of the Jedi Order. It was the unspoken code of their code, because the code only works if the Force has a will. There is no emotion. There is peace. There is no ignorance. There is knowledge. There is no passion. There is serenity. There is no chaos. There is harmony. There is no death. There is the Force. Without a will of the Force, the code is an empty vow of inaction and indifference, of self-centrist meditation on peace and nothing else. After all, the code denies everything except the Force. But the Jedi weren't merely monks dedicated to a life of meditation. They were more than that, and they did more than that. They acted. They made decisions. Galactically important decisions. Their actions had enormous consequences. And so, a will of the Force was demanded. A higher guiding authority of the will of the Force was necessary for the Jedi Order to function. So, by sheer necessity forced by their own actions, the Jedi had faith and they believed. They trusted that the will of the Force guided them. And so long as they trusted the will of the Force, they could do no wrong. Their actions still had consequences, but so long as they followed the Force's guidance, their actions would be just. The will of the Force had them, and it would take care of them. If they made mistakes, it was according to the will of the Force. If they were injured, it was as the will of the Force had deemed it. If they died, it was as the will of the Force had decided. But there is no will of the Force. It is a mindless force of nature. An intangible energy field that binds the galaxy together with no will of its own. Some people can touch it, interact with it, even use it, but that doesn't make it intelligent. Its power is undeniable, and even in his new lack of faith, Obi-Wan doesn't deny its sheer might. The Force reaches into the past and into the future, and he knows that for a fact. Through the Force, one can see visions of those times. But that is all they are. Visions. Not guidance. The Force doesn't guide. It doesn't will. And it doesn't lead. The Force just is. Obi-Wan contemplates on the nature of the Force as a mindless energy field for a long while, as the sun sets and the cold descends on his hut. It seems the cold seeps right into him, sinking into his bones even faster than before. But for once, it doesn't feel like punishment. Because the Force doesn't punish those that fail its designs. If there is no will of the Force, then there is no destiny. There is no fate. And there are no chosen ones. The end. Reader's Notes. Hey, it's Rena Jenkins. So this part's about to get a little sad and a little introspective and a little Rona-esque. So if this is not your jam, feel free to skip the Reader's Notes. Thank you for listening. You got this far. You're good to go. So, yeah. Today is March 12th, 2021. And for my personal calendar, It's the 1 year Roniversary. I've been counting my plague times, basically, since New York City closed Broadway. That's sort of the landmark I've been counting, you know, quarantine and the plague year from. I know plenty of other places it's been a lot longer than March 12th, but that's the one that sticks out for me. Kind of funny, actually. Riverdance was coming to Radio City Music Hall for their 25th anniversary, 25 years since the first time they'd come to Radio City, and I'd gotten tickets for my mom for her birthday, and they were for March 12th. And then the announcement went out that March 12th would be the last night of Broadway until, you know, everything cleared up. And that was my mom's big birthday present. What are we doing? But, like, also Radio City wasn't putting out a notice. Couldn't reach them, and they were redirecting all phone calls to Madison Square Garden's box office. I guess because they're managed by the same company. But basically, that evening, Radio City was like, "We're not on Broadway. We're not gonna close." So my mom and I saw Riverdance on the 12th. And then the morning of the 13th, Radio City made an announcement that was like, actually, it's not just Broadway, it's literally all large theaters. Fine, I guess your rules count. Which, like, you know, you can't just say, oh, well, we're not technically on the street of Broadway, so we don't count, like, which is what happened on the 12th. And literally that was the last show I went to. I can't actually get this far back in my Twitter history, apparently I tweet too much, but on March 12th, 2020, I had tweeted something to the effect of, "Well, Broadway is closed, would it be tacky if I made a podfic, possibly about the clones post-Clone Wars, post-Order 66, full of sadness, using the music from the Goo Goo Dolls' Broadway, because the lyrics are literally the saddest thing ever." And then I didn't do that because it felt a little tacky. But guess what? It's been a year. So that's what I'm doing. This podfic is partly an excuse to, do the reminiscing and shit, and I'll get into that in a minute, and also significantly as an excuse to use "Broadway is Dark Tonight" as my intro-outro music. But yeah. This story has so much of that, like, perfect for context, memorial energy. It literally is about Obi-Wan observing the 1 year anniversary since the fall of the Order, the fall of the Republic, the start of horror in your everyday life. It's a memorial for something you don't actually want to celebrate, and that bit in the middle there about the feeling when there's so much tragedy that it becomes mundane. I feel like a lot of people have gone through that this past year. The death tolls keep rising, the statistics keep rising, and suddenly it's not actually about people, it's just a number, and you almost become, like, inured to the tragedy of it. So thank you, Osama, for putting that in words in a way that I could read aloud without having to figure out the words myself. But yeah, this past year I've been really lucky. I've been able to keep my job. I've been able to find a workaround so I'm not working, you know, in the office as much as some people require. None of my family have gotten, you know, the worst of it. And it's just, so I can't speak to the complete and utter tragedy that this year has been, because I have gotten off really lucky compared to some others. My heart goes out to my fandom friends who lost loved ones, lost their health, their jobs, because fuck the plague. And then this story just has that bit about the creeping sense that this is the way things are now. And and Obi-Wan's slow loss of faith, and I feel like that is something that maybe not right now, but probably like, you know, 6 months in, 8 months in, 3 months in, we all had that period of emotional, what the fuck, emotional numbness. But then again, like, you look at this, and this is a year after the Empire fell. 18 years from now, it will take time to recuperate, but you literally have a new hope that is coming. Obi-Wan, we know he's going to train Luke, at least for a minute. We know he's going to share with Luke, and eventually he will come back around enough to rediscover his faith in the Force, enough to reach oneness in the Force. And Force Ghost Obi-Wan, sadness and also joy at the same time, because, you know, he can be the quippiness without anybody, basically all that. We know that there is some hope coming, and whether that's a very heavy-handed metaphor for the end of this past year, or just me reaching because I want something to look forward to, hopefully that's something I shared a little bit with you in this story. I don't know. I don't have the eloquence that, like, you know, it's been on the news every day this week about how New York, here's what we went through, you know, roaming morgues and hospitals literally turning it, like, it's been on the news every night this week about here's where we were and here's where we are now and here's the hope of the vaccine and everything. I don't know that I would have got through this without the people of fandom that have, without the friends that have really reached their hands out to help me get through it, and hopefully I've been that for someone else as well. We're gonna make it. Fuck everything else. If only out of spite, we will make it through this. But yeah. Thank you to Osama for having blanket permission to Podvik. Thank you for getting through this year with me. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, or it was cathartic, or it struck something in you that resonated. And have a nice day.